It's going to be a couple minutes late. I see everybody else is here. We obviously do not have much on our agenda at all for tonight. Probably the most pressing thing, just so everybody knows, is the Odin's Angel event coming up on Saturday. This has been kind of a discussion going back and forth. The town clerk office and I have had some discussions. I sent out an email this week regarding their event. And while I'm super excited that they have over 50 vendors, the New York State guidance states that they cannot have over 50 people in their gathering. I explained that to Shelley. She's not angry with the town. What she is struggling with is the fact that emergency order 202.5 allows them, because they're nonprofit, to be deemed as essential. She was missing the disconnect between being deemed an essential business and then a completely different emergency order stating that congregations of people of 50 or more are essentially prohibited, at least at this stage of the game. So, you know, they said obviously that can affect our event, and I said yes. That's why we did not move forward with fireworks. We haven't had our summer concert series because it's not permissible. It just sadly didn't happen. So anyway, the most recent events that happened late yesterday and today was that we were advised that she was seeking legal counsel from a animal rights attorney and feels that they are not subject to these emergency orders, wants to continue with the event, to which obviously puts us in a situation of a large-scale event being held on town property. So Erie County Department of Health has already been notified, not by me. They contacted me first because there was originally going to be a food truck at this event. Donna is the person's name. I have to look up her last name on my calendar here. But I spoke to Donna just yesterday. They denied their permit for the food truck for the event. Again, under the premise that even the food truck company said that they had concerns with a large gathering of people. So they were, I guess I'll say, a little bit elated in the fact that they didn't have to make that commit. So anyway, moral of the story is the event is Saturday. I'm going to try to follow up with Shelley tomorrow and just confirm that she understands that, unfortunately, this event cannot exceed 50 people. You know, if she wants to do two separate events, we can certainly go down that path, have that discussion. But that will be something that she needs to understand, because essentially, if not, it would be basically anyone at that event is subject to the minimum $2,000 fine for violating the emergency order. It's a public health and safety law. But that is kind of what we're looking at right now. So I don't know if anybody wants to chime in on that, has any thoughts, but at the end of the day, if we have a large turnout at the town hall, there's probably going to be some potential police presence, because the law enforcement are the only ones able there that would get involved with potentially breaking up that event. All right, I guess I'll say with
Jason, I wanted to chime in regarding that there is another use of facility on, for the agenda this evening, and their event will be July 24th. And they have supplied everything, the complete application, the $75 maintenance fee, which does clearly state on there that it's the funds will be utilized to cover the cost of bathroom supplies, final cleanup, and administrative costs. They have submitted their insurance certificate also. Now, I just the town board to please consider, when these people are requesting use of the facility, they're being put off without the okay for the bathrooms. And when someone is having an event, it's very likely that within that time frame of the 4, 6, 7 hours, whatever it is, that they need the bathroom facilities.
Right.
And I did actually Lois send out to the town board regarding the events that will be coming up in August We would like to let those folks know if they're not going to have use of the full facilities. We want to give them the heads up, so either they will either cancel or they will make other arrangements.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a fair question. Yes, the email went out, and you know, obviously everybody saw my responses to it. I have asked Sean, our labor, if he would be able to potentially come in and clean after the fact. He's willing to do that, but again, we just did that falls in, under his hours of cleaning, and then also our ability to obtain cleaning products to keep things clean. This week, I did speak to Joe Liberti. That's my follow-up there. Joe Liberti is willing to, of course, he's a business. He is certainly willing to clean the bathrooms. I do not have a number from him yet of what he would potentially increase his charge for, but he is willing to assist us in that capacity. Essentially, after the event, once the bathrooms are closed, they have remained closed until they can be cleaned. State guidance clearly states that if public restrooms are open, they're cleaned at a very bare minimum of at least once a day, and preferably multiple times a day, depending on the event. There's overdoing youth facilities is a whole different dynamic when it's not. As I stated in emails, just not what it was a year ago, sadly. So that falls on the town board. So that would be an increased cost at some point. The other concern I had with the youth facility for tonight is that they're saying the number of attendees is 50 to 60. We would have to put a provision that it would be capped at 50 attendees or less. So that was the other side of the youth facility that I identified for tonight. And unfortunately, it is what it is. It's a congregation of people on public property. So realistically speaking, just for the record also out there, just so you're all aware, and again, it's the world we live in. We have to, I guess we'll say we're kind of tied into these emergency orders. Some of this, you probably understand and probably figure out where I'm coming from on this, but even technically a party in somebody's backyard where people that are obviously not the owners of that parcel, when you have a congregation of over 50 people, all it would take is one phone call to the Department of Health or to the New York State Attorney General's hotline or email hotline, and yes, site violations could be filed. Not the Town of Boston's rules, but under the emergency orders, this is just the environment that we're in with a current pandemic. So challenging times, you know, there's enough hurdles out there, but just so everybody knows, that's what it is. For youth facilities, I would love to see people use facilities. You know, probably the biggest challenge I predict coming up is the baseball. I've already received complaints that they're not following guidelines. There's more than two parents per child. There's large groups of people gathering, and that is potentially the next challenge that we face as a town board of basically the guidance that they provided to us. If they are not following that guidance, unfortunately, we are the people that come in. Or fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, we are the ones that are taking oath of office to uphold those emergency orders. So that is the next.
The restroom usage. Some ideas that I had when we have the hockey games and we're having to use the locker rooms. You're assigned a key, just like we did for the shack. The snack shack. You assign the key, you unlock the restrooms, you clean them up when you're done, and you put the key back in the Dropbox. I don't think we have a Dropbox set up, but they would be in charge of that. So if you're having like baseball, if you're having that type of activity, you're going to have to go to the bathroom. So now you're urinating in public. I had no other choice when we were out there before doing baseball with, you know, five-year-olds, that there was no other choice. That's why I'm thinking that the parents could be in charge, that they would be in charge of the key. The key would go back into a Dropbox. It would be checked in the morning. And if they didn't clean up, then they would have to pay a deposit in the beginning. If they didn't clean up, then they would lose their deposit. If it happened again, then they're done. The whole contract canceled. The same thing with the facilities, the youth facilities. We could set up something where I could go in at a certain time and open things up and I could check it afterwards. You know what I mean? Like give me a phone number, have them call me when they're done. I would verify that it's cleaned. I would take the key. And we would just move forward from there. I know there's a way to do it. You're going to have, with five or more people, you're going to have someone that's going to need to use a facility. So we need to figure out how to make it work. Cost is not, it's not the answer. We should figure out how to make it work.
Well, technically, that's where the, probably next year, there will be a sports contract. Is technically speaking, the $75 use facility does not cover sports, and it certainly does not cover the overall cost of the programs and using our fields, especially when you're looking at travel teams using our fields, etc. But when it comes to the cost, that is something really that will potentially end up going back on the teams, especially if we're still dealing with COVID into next year. One of the next concerns that came up, perfect time to talk about that when you're genuine, perfect topic, is bathrooms, and then also that key to access to storage in the snack shack. Football is already asking, how do we know who's using it and who is not, because baseball has already shared the code for the keys in with other people. So, you know, when we're talking about costs not being a concern, we're looking at a sizable amount that's not in the budget. So that is something that we also need to take into account, because even though we're, I'll say, entrusting somebody else to keep it clean, ultimately the town board is the custodian of all town property, buildings, etc. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they're safe and following our guidelines. So while they might be cleaning, realistically we're probably going to be going in shortly behind them, let's say Monday morning. If there's games or an event on Saturday, even if they're cleaning it, we're going in right behind them to clean it. So there will be some kind of cost associated with that.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, we had the contract when we signed up to use the locker rooms. We had to make sure it was clean before we left, and we locked it up before we left, and we handed the key back in. So in this case, obviously, we would ask them to bring their sanitizing equipment, which I'm going to throw that out, saying everybody's got some now, even in the cars. So you clean it when you're finished, and we will have the facilities available. Obviously, now with our a cleaning contract, we would, I don't know, I'm more looking at organized sports when people are out there, not just generally every day, all day long. So with the organized sports, I'm sure we could figure out a way to clean it Monday morning when the cleaner is on site, or when our janitorial person is on site.
Sean is usually only in 2 to 3 days a week tops. He's limited to 20 hours. He's only 20 hours part time. So if we start shifting his responsibilities as a town laborer, which is what the position is written as, we're taking away from that labor position, and we're creating a cleaner position.
Do we know who took care of the cleaning before? I mean, that's not anything new. The bathrooms have been always cleaned after events. But I don't know who took care of it before.
I think Leo used to do that. And if I recall, in the summer, Leo worked more hours. He wasn't strictly 19 hours a week during the summer, just to take on some of those extra duties. Another thought, maybe if there's a special event, you maybe have the person who's holding the event have to rent like a porta potty or something. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that. They'd have to pay, in lieu of the $50 cleaning fee, you rent your own porta potty, and then it's there and it's gone, and for each event.
Okay. Like I said, the labor position, depending on assigned duty, that potentially can get into civil service jobs or classification, I should say.
Well, I'm assuming they'd be able to pay overtime.
Well, again, we're talking about job classification and how it's set up, and then the to potential civil service classification. Which is why we basically essentially kind of gone the route of Liberty Janitorial, which isn't a cost, because that was just to really to ensure that the high touch areas, et cetera, were cleaned properly. And I said, I don't have those numbers from Joe. He's not provided them to the town yet, but I did ask Joe for numbers to clean bathrooms on a weekend after the fact, so we know that they are clean. But that is something that Ray Gamolka had asked and wanted to have a sit down meeting. So we'll be trying to get a meeting set up between baseball and football, because they had concerns of how to ensure that their players and that the snack shack was being cleaned, and that there wasn't a bunch of people going in and out, because the key code has been shared with multiple other coaches on the team. It's not just a small group of people that were originally given the code. It was shared by many other coaches. They can come down on weekends. Just last week, I walked out, it was July 4th, no, that was a holiday, July 1st, Hamburg baseball was practicing out on the fields behind town hall, and I went out and told them, I said, you can't practice here. I said, the state guidance states you cannot start until July 6th, and there's a little bit of resistance, and I explained that, look, if you're going to practice, quite frankly, take off the jerseys. There's only four people that were there. People practicing, but they had all their gear on, and that was just, again, against emergency orders. And state guidance. So that was the thread and what provoked the discussion between Josh Hayek and that email thread that went out. But that's where the contract next year will clearly define that, whether we're in COVID or not. The sports organization should have some kind of a contract, and for the $75 fee, I'll use baseball as the example, $75 fee doesn't even come remotely close to touching the cost of clay, the cost of paint and other things. So essentially the taxpayer is subsidizing another organization to come in and utilize town property, which there are certain concerns with state regulation on that. Let's put our heads together and try to come up with something. Hopefully I can get some numbers from Joe, and we can think, I agree with you, Jen. Let's try to figure out how to do it. It's just a matter of at what cost.
We can go back to Keys and then put a Dropbox there. Keep it simple.
Right now at the Snack Shack, the way it works, I don't know if you've taken a look, at the Snack Shack, there's a box.
Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Yeah, there's a box about yay big, about the size, a little bit smaller. If you're taking a deck of playing cards, turn it sideways, about that height, probably about 2 inches in width. Simple four-pin push-pin code, and that's how the sports leagues have had access to the Snack Shack over the years. So that's where the concern is coming. That multiple people now have that code. They're going in to grab their equipment, let's say Saturday or a Sunday to practice, and who knows who's going in there? Are they cleaning up? There's not a structured system in place to ensure that ultimately public safety.
One thought I was trying to share, and I guess my audio isn't working, but if we're collecting a fee for cleaning, and to my knowledge, these bathrooms are not open to the public as it is today anyway, why can they not be open and closed the day of an event and cleaned after the event?
Here's the thing. So to answer your question, that's what we're discussing. Is that possible? Yes. It's just a matter of when are they cleaned, depending on Sean's schedule. Sometimes he's not in until Tuesday or Wednesday. If we're talking
about they're not open to the public as it is. If anything, like for example, for COVID, my B&B, I turn that over. It rarely turns over the same day, but it's multiple days between a check-in and a check-out. It gets cleaned sometimes a day or two after, but it's actually good for it to sit vacant, because if COVID was in the bathroom itself, the shelf life on it isn't actually that long. I don't know why this is really an issue, to be honest. If they pay a fee and they want to use the bathrooms and they're not open to the public as it is, I mean, they need to be cleaned at some point, otherwise we wouldn't be getting a fee for it.
Right, but if the sports, right, but if the sports team come in and play and they have not been cleaned yet, that's where then there's a whole other process that comes into play of somebody at the town hall needing to now say, okay, that, you know, they're not cleaned yet, baseball, football, you can't, you know, whoever, you cannot use, you know, the bathrooms until they've been cleaned. And that's why I'm trying to bridge that gap with trying to get some numbers from Liberty Janitorial to see if they can come in on, you know, Saturday or even on a Sunday, the 7th event. We recommend to 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. Come in on a Sunday morning, clean first thing Monday morning. That's where we're trying to bridge the gap here.
So with the 5S stuff, we would have we could purchase and supply a shelf with the necessities, and the necessities will be there when you start. If you want it cleaned and you want to use it, you clean before, you clean after, and those essentials should stay on the shelf, and that's where they belong for you to use. When you're done, they go back where they are. If something's missing, you get charged for it. You know what I mean? So the only way to assure that it's clean is if you clean it prior to your games. I remember having to empty trash before a whole bunch of people got into the locker rooms. I remember having to because of popcorn or whatever party they had the night before. I mean, it was just part of being one of the hockey moms. You know what I mean? It was just part of it. So to me, it's really not that big a deal. As long as you set it up ahead of time. You know what I mean? Like, here's your expectations. Here's what we're providing you. Unfortunately, this is the cost, but I'm just wondering what the public would think, if they would be for this suggestion or not.
But if you're charging a cleaning fee for a facility and a use of facility, and you're asking people to clean it before and after, then what are they paying for?
They'd be paying for the cleaning products. Because that's the whole additional cost here is cleaning products that are actually going to disinfect and clean for the COVID.
I just wanted to interject here also. It states it clearly on the use of facility. I agree that all facilities used will be properly cleaned to the best of my ability upon completion of the event. I'm responsible for any damages caused by to any of the facilities or grounds. And then it goes on to say they submit insurance certificate to the clerk. Liquor license if necessary 1 week prior to the event. And then it goes on about contacting the sporting leagues to make sure there's no conflicts with the dates. So already what they are signing, they're agreeing to the $75 maintenance fee, which will be utilized to cover the cost of bathroom supplies, final cleanup, and administrative costs. So they're signing off that they will agree that the facilities will be properly cleaned to the best of their ability. And actually, if it was with the community room, that is enforced. There is a list of duties that need to be taken care of in the community room regarding sweeping and the garbage, etc.
Right. That fee is not just cleaning. It's, let's say, lights being on. It's outside of the traditional town hall operational duties and tasks. That's something that Sandy and I had gone over last year. It kind of encompasses all those additional fees because it's not town hall employees working there. This is above and beyond. And once again, it's one of those scenarios of, you know, the taxpayer should not be subsidizing. If Jason Keating wants to have a party at the Lion Shelter, taxpayer should not be subsidizing my event. That should be covered under that fee. And what it will cover the maintenance costs, labor costs, et cetera. And maybe even be the additional fee to bring in a small amount of revenue. So I will get the numbers from Joe and get that out to everybody. Like I said, the sports, even when Leo is the labor, sports is the only ones that I truly can. I don't know about Kathy, but I mean, I can certainly say in at least the years as councilman and now as supervisor, I can tell you that sports are the only ones that Leo ever really brought any concerns of them not necessarily being cleaned properly, you know, toilet tissue being left on the floor, other things. And, you know, we went down that path. We remedied this situation, we moved on. So I don't predict any problems. It's just a matter of making sure that things are clean because, you know, again, we have to follow the state guidance. So
that was that.
Sorry, I missed it. Is the state guidance still up to 50? 50 or less for group gathering?
Yes. And in my speaking with Tim Richards, which is a direct Western, he's a direct New York representative for Governor Cuomo, that number is not looking to change anytime soon. If numbers continue to uptick or people continue to, and again, this is just, please don't shoot the messenger here. I know there's opinions on this, been down this road many times, but you know, with people coming in from other states or vacationing and coming back, not following the quarantine guidance, et cetera, it's not going to surprise me, just like I say in my email, if things become more restrictive versus more open. And that's going to put us in a completely different discussion down the road at some point. Hoping it doesn't happen, but that is, I'm getting that directly from Tim Richards. So, interesting times we're in. Town hall reopening. I got a couple minutes before the board meeting, but the only thing, town hall reopening, just waiting on the elevator official inspection certificate, and then the town hall can essentially reopen. That guidance I sent out to everybody, I know, Jen, you were going to cruise through that and take a look at everything. The some of the guidance, I think I might tweak a little bit. I've got to meet with Sam. My intention tomorrow is to go upstairs and meet with everybody, make sure all the upstairs offices kind of agree to everything and see if there's any changes. Again, that's ultimately, we're supposed to be protecting our employees. So with that being said, my thought is putting steps at the end of the upstairs hallway and continuing to use the desk space that the town clerk office and the court office has been using since the pandemic started. So if we open up, we'll encourage appointment-based. But if Mr. or Mrs. Jones want to walk in, that they will be able to, and it's just a matter of identifying that they're in the hallway, that they need help, and keep that hallway as kind of a, if you will, a safe zone, one less area that we have to clean, whether it's door handles, handrails, etc. So other than that, the elevator's gone very well. If anybody's been in the town hall, feel free to take it on a test drive. It's I have a meeting first thing tomorrow morning with the elevator company. They're going to walk Sean through all the new switches to keep the key settings on the inside of the car. And that's all tomorrow. So as soon as we get that certificate, we'll be able to open up. So
I have one question with the elevator. If someone is stuck in there, is there a bell, an outside bell?
Oh, yes. New ADA compliance required. That phone line expense that the town hall has every single month now. But there, ADA and safety, code safety requires that a dedicated phone line for the phone be installed, and there's a whole new panel box in the vault room just outside the pump room. So should Jason Keating get stuck in the elevator, I need to get out, and nobody hears me pressing the emergency bell, I pick up the phone, and I essentially have a direct outside line to 911 and...
Okay, so when you pick it up, it goes directly to 911, or you have to dial 9 to get out, or something like that?
I mean that tomorrow. I don't know. I don't have that answer for you.
You got to test that theory, right?
I will let you know tomorrow. I don't know. I honestly didn't want to
test it today with nobody there.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. We have not been given a crash course. It was just early this week that we sent the pictures. They required that drop ceiling that I sent out to everybody. They required drop ceiling in the vault room. Yeah, it's a whole long conversation, but essentially there's no way fire was going up there, but the inspection companies. So we put in the drop ceiling, and that was the only. Hoping to have a meeting with all the nutrition staff either tomorrow or Friday. I've reached out to all of them. I haven't heard anybody, nobody's called me back yet, but I want to get together with them and get together our reopening plan, because they're also required to have a reopening plan that has to be followed, that gets submitted to the county executive and Erie County Senior Services, receive approval by them to even allow us to open up. Once we're allowed to open up, we can then open up and resume, congregate dining services, but obviously with social distancing and spacing and all the new regulations that are set forth in emergency orders or otherwise. All right. right. So I apologize for running over. So it's 7:32. So I call the town board meeting to order.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Carotakini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacu?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacu, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. I pledge of allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, into the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you very much. Tonight we have no other preliminary matters. So we'll move on to item number two. We have regular business, which is the correction and adoption of minutes for the July 1st, 2020 meeting. Councilman Carotakini, do you mind taking the minutes for tonight?
No problem at all. Had an opportunity to review the minutes from our past board meeting on 7/1/2020. I find that there's no reason for any corrections to the minutes, and I make a motion that we accept them as written.
Second.
Councilman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carotakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacu?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number two under regular business is we have the consideration of all fund bills. Councilwoman Martin, am I taking the bills tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I had a few minutes to go over the fund bills, and I make a motion to approve the payment of a total of $159,865.17.
Second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carotakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacu?
I have one question, one suggestion before I agree. The abstract, when it tells the hood guys for cleaning our exhaust hoods, which is a requirement, and I'm glad to see it's done as it's necessary every year. The suggestion would be to keep that separate because that is an audible item for like an OSHA Department of Labor and EPA. So just in case they see that we have the exhaust, the kitchens are being used, that paperwork will need to be had obtained quickly, and hopefully it's the last 5 to 7 years. So with that, yes.
Councilwoman Martin.
Yes.
All right, yeah, thank you for that suggestion. Appreciate it. Okay, so moving on to item number three under correspondence. We have five pieces of correspondence this evening that was received by the town. We have a letter from Charter Communications and Spectrum regarding pricing changes that's been received and filed with the town of Boston. Item number two is a letter from Holden Trail Rider Snowmobile regarding the seeker determination letter for snowmobile trails within the town of Boston that has been received and filed, and have also confirmed that our code enforcement officer did send out a letter similar to the code of Holden to the Holden Trail Riders Snowmobile Club. So that has been received and filed. Item number three is the notification from the planning board of their cancellation for the July 14th, 2020 meeting. Has been received and filed. Item number four is the June income statement that has been received and filed. Item number five, the notification regarding the summer concert series. And just for the record, that the summer concert series for August, sadly, the current emergency orders where congregations, people not larger than 50, cannot congregate. The decision was made to cancel the summer concert series, and even some of the bands that had reached out to us saying that they were not performing. So unfortunately that's been canceled. And I will just note that the ASI grant that the town received this year is one of the highest that the town's received in many years. is able to be rolled over to 2021. So if we cannot do anything by the tail end of this year, I should say the gatherings of 50 or more, if we can't get it with 50 or more people, do not change before the end of the year or fall, that money will be placed into the program for next year. Moving on to item number 4 for new business, requests from the floor. I will open up the floor. Anybody on the call that would like to make any comments, please feel free to unmute your phone. It's *6 to unmute and *6 to remute your phone. I will pause and you have a 3-minute time limit. Please state your name and your address.
Don't everybody speak at once.
It appears there are no callers. They're all video. Everyone is running an agent. The phone's all dropped off at some point.
Even with the call, yep. Are 2 and 3?
Not all of them.
Interesting what you learn as the meetings go past.
It is. So, okay, well, I guess I'll start with...
I just wanted to state that the town clerk's office did not receive any questions or comments prior to this board meeting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right. With no further comments from the public, I will close the floor. Item number 2 is a use of facility for Maureen and Sean Geary for a graduation party. Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that item tonight?
Sure. Maureen Geary and Sean are requesting the use for July 24th at 2. Takedown is at 9 for graduation. They're anticipating the number of attendees to be 50 to 60. To use the Lions shelter and bathroom facilities. They had sent in, it would be serving alcohol, and it's a private party. They did send in the check for the fee, as well as the evidence of property insurance. Obviously, I would recommend the approval of this, barring the number of attendees to be less than 50. And we figure out the bathroom facilities with them, since there will be over 50 people and alcohol. Obviously, food would be provided as well with them. I'm sure that communication has already been relayed to them when Sandra or Lois received the information. I would recommend approval with those nuances.
So that's your motion, Jen?
Yes, I said that at the very beginning and then I went to my other stuff. Sorry, yes.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes, we will take care of the restroom facilities.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Okay, and I will make sure, Lois, or I will make sure that the Geary's know that at this point in time, it is limited to 50 or less.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate that. Okay, item number 3 tonight under new business, we have Catherine Pajaclo. This is the old agenda. My apologies. Item number 3 tonight is the resolution 2020-46, authorizing a settlement of real property tax law Article 7 proceeding by Mark A. and Kristen M. Odell. Councilwoman Sully, would you mind taking that item tonight?
Yes, thank you, Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution 2020-46, authorizing the settlement of real property tax law Article 7, proceeding by Mark and Kristen Odell. This execution authorizes the assessor and the attorney for the town to execute all documents necessary to settle this case.
Okay, and I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. It's nice that we have no other old business under. So we'll move on to reports and presentations. I'll start off with the town clerk. Town clerk, go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I don't really have that much for this evening. The town clerk's report for June 2020 has been submitted to the supervisor's office. And even though the doors are locked to residents just walking in, please call the town clerk's office if you need anything. Lois and I have been very busy with setting up appointments. We've got dog license renewals, new licensing, marriage licenses, notaries. We've been busy with all of that. So certainly if you have any concerns or you need to meet with us, we are available. Just give us a call. Thank you, and that is all I have.
No, thank you very much. And Martin, do you have anything this evening?
I have nothing new to report. Thank you, Supervisor.
Thing. And Councilwoman Lukacek, go ahead.
So I've met with a resident trying to assist with supervisor and the resident on a spectrum placement for pole and underground work and all that information that was not received by the resident. By neither the town, the county, or Spectrum. So I was glad to be a part of the discussion. And I think the result is going to go well. So I wanted to thank Supervisor for his patience and assistance. And she was much appreciated. And just separately, when she's had to deal with the town in the last probably here, she was very happy with the clerk's office as well as the assessor's and the supervisor's office. She wanted me to relay that. So thank you all for the jobs you do. Much appreciated by our residents.
Oh, thank you very much. That was actually, I did have the opportunity to meet with the resident on Friday. I'll just kind of jump in for a moment, but the resident had a concern regarding the placement of a pole, and just so everybody's aware, that pole has been moved 150 feet. Spectrum was willing to work with the resident, which was fantastic. The pole has been moved, and we don't anticipate any additional issues with the pole placement at this time. The resident's happy, Spectrum's happy. The only piece of information is whether or not Spectrum actually needs an easement onto that property. The way that it's deeded, but right now that's essentially between the property owner and Spectrum. She assured us that she has no qualms with the project going forward, and she's fine with the pole. So that'll be great, and all those residents down on FedEx and that there. And home buttons, sir. Thank you. We'll have internet. All right, and Councilman Cardichini, do you have anything to add tonight?
What are we doing with item number 3 on new business? Are we not doing that tonight?
That was the old agenda. Kathy Pajacola was appointed at the last meeting.
Okay, and all right.
It's okay. That was my mistake, too. I knew this, and I looked at the agenda. I was just reading off my old agenda. So, yes, Kathy's been reappointed.
Okay. Board. So we did, I thought we approved for her to be the zoning chair. I didn't remember a reappointment. So that was in the...
So, yes.
Okay.
So she was appointed as a ZBA chair. To be appointed as a member is kind of a redundant... can we do it? Yes. Oh. The answer is yes. But it's redundant. A chairperson is a member of the board. Town board reappointed her at the last... That occurs... the appointment position for the duration of that term, obviously as a member of the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Okay, I'm going to ask the Secretary of the Board to just formally do the dates for the request, if that hasn't been done already.
Got it for you. You're all set.
Okay, thank you.
All set.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, that's okay, Jennifer. So the only thing is that I had to, I hope that North Boston had a good gala, even though that the event, you know, didn't happen for obvious reasons. I hope it was successful nonetheless. Congratulate all the winners of the gala. And I know I missed it. I'm sure I'm not alone in that thought. And hopefully next year is a little bit different. That's all I have tonight.
And Councilwoman Selby, go ahead.
Thank you. I just like to share a little bit of what's going on at the school with the possibility of going back to school. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Nobody knows yet. I've been on a committee where we have different areas that we're looking at. We're looking at transportation. We're looking at facilities and the lunch program and how we would possibly be going back and how it would affect these areas. We have to come up with three different scenarios and pull off the shelf at the last minute of what we're going to try to do. So it could be a hybrid. It could be full at home virtual, which none of the teachers like. It's not the way to educate kids. Everybody knows, especially younger kids. They need that interaction. Maybe at the high school level, you know, we talked about doing that virtual, the elementary being more hands-on and being in the classroom. It's just a very complicated, as you can imagine, issues with the bus and having to wear masks. We're loading up on masks and sanitizers just like you are at the town, only at a different level. It's just crazy. The administrators there are working extremely hard to get a plan in place, and hopefully we'll find out soon, but it's going to be interesting, and I'm excited to be part of it, but yet at the same time, it's a little overwhelming that it's just so crazy, and the kids are the ones that are really going to suffer, and the parents who have to be there for them, so we'll see what happens. That's all I have. Thank you.
I just want to make sure I wasn't cutting you off there. No problem. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, I'm looking at the call. I don't see our highway superintendent, but we do have two callers. Is the highway superintendent on? If so, Bob, you feel free to give your report if you're on. Okay, with no comment, I will presume the highway superintendent is not on the call this evening. Yeah, Kathy, I don't know if you had known this. Monday, I actually have a meeting with the superintendent that will be discussing the reopening. They're looking to hear from the local communities, what we're doing. They didn't really give any kind of agenda, so I'm sure it's kind of, we're just going to go in and really just brainstorm. It is what it is. It's unknowns, in contingency planning. And if this happens, then what steps do you take? This has been my world since March 16th, which I'll never forget the rest of my life. So I'm curious, but I'm also interested to see what they have. So that I do have that going on Monday. As I mentioned at the work session, for any of the callers that might have joined, I don't think anybody else has, but just for the sake of conversation, the town hall is still closed once we receive the official certification for the town hall's elevator. We will be opening up the town hall. We're going to encourage appointment-based only, just like in most other facilities, organizations, other town halls. Masks will be required while on town property, hand sanitizer, et cetera, social distancing. But all those guidelines will be laid out, and I will make sure that all of the town offices are ready and all employees are comfortable before we officially reopen. So my target date is due to the elevator delay a little bit here. We'll be probably late July, early August. So again, the elevator inspection is something we've been waiting on. South Boston Park Playground, I don't know if any of the board members have been down there yet, but it looks fantastic. We're putting down the new wood mulch. That's a nice addition to our town parks. There's some positive feedback from residents. Hopefully it does not get vandalized like the last equipment was. It's beautiful equipment. So that I believe is it's officially done. I have not spoken with Miracle Recreation, but they said that they would be following up and letting me know when that project is done, so we can seek the those grant funds that allowed us to acquire that equipment and update it. Just actually, speaking of emergency orders, I did renew the Town of Boston for the state of emergency for another 30 days. Obviously, it can be rescinded at any time during that duration. But while the state and county remain under state of emergency, it behooves the Town of Boston to remain under state of emergency, because we have a current FEMA ticket out. So any costs associated with managing the pandemic, there is a potential for reimbursement for those. So the good news is Erie County's numbers are low. They seem to have a little bit of uptick here and there, but I think we're doing a decent job managing it. And I certainly hope that it stays that way. That is all I have for tonight. So, without anything else, I will make a motion to end the meeting at 7:53 p.m.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried, meeting adjourned.